Now entering Nerdist.com.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part two.
I'm Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports Puck Daddy Blog.
Do you feel like our intro is a little too canned?
I'm Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo's Puck Daddy Blog.
I'm Dave Lozo of Vice Sports and The Comeback and many other websites. And where are we?
You're in Puck Soup. Traffic and weather together on the 6 is coming up. Also, Ryan Seacrest is going to join us on the phone to talk about the new season of Idol.
Breaking news, Hillary Clinton is in town this week, and traffic will be closed off all along 6th Avenue here in New York City.
Well, ironically, I didn't get that email, Dave. What was that, Trumpy, our little trumpet friend? Oh, I know. Really, her signature SIG file had a Jimmy Buffett lyric?
Whoa. Time to yell at my producer. Hey, producer.
Joining us down the line is Sally from Montauk. Sally, what's going on? What are you wearing, baby?
Oh, hey now. We got Doris from Rego Park. Doris, how are you, Doris?
I'm so excited to call Puck Soup. John Mattingly.
Okay, back after this. Can I feed the whole show? Can we just, like, miss
that
bail
was,
now?
That was the whole show.
That's it.
Have a nice summer, everybody.
Good night.
Free agency happened since we last did a Puck Soup, but more importantly, there was bigger news, which is that there's going to be another lockout.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell them the sad news that we found out yesterday.
What was that?
The Margot Robbie news.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get that out of the way first.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie, unfortunately, can't fit in a Puck Soup interview in her Suicide Squad junkets.
I've never been more devastated to open an email.
You seriously were devastated. I had to talk you off the ledge a little bit for that.
Because I emailed their publicist in like April or May, didn't hear back as expected. And then I sent a follow-up on yesterday, Tuesday. And I got like one of those, like, I'm out of the office bounce backs. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to hear from her. And then 15 minutes later, it was like, hey, thanks for the inquiry, but we just can't really work it in. But if anything comes clear in her schedule, we'll see what we can do.
And you were like, I liked it so much better when you were out of the office.
It was just, yeah, you know, like there was still hope. Is that like a Schrodinger's box thing where it's like, if you don't look into the email, you never know if you've been rejected.
Right, exactly.
And then we were just rejected.
Yeah. I tried to cheer Lozo up by saying that John Hamm has a movie coming out this fall that looks pretty funny, and maybe he'll do the show.
I don't care.
But I don't think he necessarily sees the... Yeah, I was thinking it'd be like a swap of star power, but you, I think, see it more as Margot Robbie isn't going to be on the podcast, and you're sad about that.
I think it would have been John Hamm. Does he play hockey, John Hamm?
No, he's a Blues fan.
Yeah, who cares? When I talk to him
about David Backes and Troy Brower leaving the fold,
yeah,
Kevin Shattenkirk status going forward, all sorts of things.
Look, as a bald man, I can't be around the guy who has hair that good. It's too traumatic for me to stare at that and just like think about what could have been if like the genetic dice fell a different way. But Margot Robbie,
we're not selling Brill Cream. Would have been. We're selling memories. We're selling Christmas with your family.
By the way, Jeb Lund tweeted a screenshot of a Margot Robbie story just as we were starting this.
Uh-huh.
And it might be the worst piece of writing I've ever seen. It's like the opening to it. It's like the very beginning of the story where it's like, you know, he set up Margot Robbie. Right. Here I'll read it to you real
Go
quick.
Go ahead, please.
Because, you know, this is
Lozo's Margot Robbie corner.
This is as close as we're going to get to having her on the show. But it's like a big drop cap A. America is so far gone, we have to go to Australia to find the girl next door.
Oh, Jesus.
In case you missed it, her name is Margot Robbie.
Mm.
She is 26 and beautiful. Not in that otherworldly catwalk way, but yes, she is that.
Yeah, she
way.
Kind of is.
She is. But in a minor knockaround key, a blue mood, a slow dance.
What?
She is blonde, but dark at the roots. She is tall, but only with the help of certain shoes. She can be sexy and composed even while naked. But only in character. As I said, she is from Australia. That's my favorite part. He's like calling back to a thing he wrote 40 words ago. To understand her, you should think about what that means. Australia is America 50 years ago. Sunny and slow. a throwback.
Sunny and Slow?
Yeah, this is a screenshot. I don't know what it's from, wow. But like, I hope it's real. I could be getting Vin Scullied right now. So mm-hmm. I'm like reading a fake.
I like that. It's like they did a Control F on Kylie Minogue from a story about 25 years ago.
Actually, I mean, Australia is America 50 years ago. Sneaky.
And she was fantastic doing Locomotion. No. Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street.
So, Margo, if you come on this podcast, we won't treat you that way. We just want to talk about you playing hockey.
I'll give away the plan that I have now. Since we can't get her through official channels, what I'm going to do...
Uh-oh, is this going to be a kidnap situation?
No, it's not going to be like Celtic Pride.
Because I'm into it.
I am going to go to a Rangers game, and I'm going to somehow find a way to sit next to her.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do it formally, because obviously that would be mm-hmm. going... I would hate to go above board on publicists... considering we have to work with them.
You don't
want
to go over the top.
So I'll do the trick that I've always talked about doing in the hockey locker room. Although this time I'll actually use a microphone.
You're going to snap her with a towel?
No. I am going to use a burrito. And what I've often wanted to do with hockey players...
Wait, what does that mean? Don't just say that and move on to something else. What does use a burrito mean?
What I've always wanted to do with a hockey player is sit down with a hockey player on a one-on-one interview, and instead of using a microphone or a recorder... just use a burrito wrapped in foil and have the top ripped open so it's clearly a burrito and just see what the reaction is.
Oh, you're not going to like hide a mic in there?
No, but at some point, take a bite out of it during the interview while I'm interviewing, like, you know, Chris Kreider.
How far would you get into that Margot Robbie interview before MSG security tossed you out?
I don't know, but in that case, I would put the microphone in the burrito and just be like, so, great game, huh? Just kind of slowly move it over.
The Rangers are a great mix of speed, size, and people from all over the world, much like a burrito is a mix of all different great things as well, right?
Say, did you look like the kind of person who might have played hockey growing up in Australia. Am I,
all right.
Am I somewhere anywhere on the dartboard there?
There's always next year. We'll get her next year.
So the even worse news is that there's going to be a lockout.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so because the agents are usually the canary in the coal mine for this, and... almost every big-time contract we've seen signed in the last couple weeks has been built in with a lot of bonus money that's guaranteed, that's
yep.
buyout-protected a la David Clarkson, but also rollback-protected a la the next lockout.
Yes. It's just, I mean, it was going to happen anyway, but like it took to this point to figure out what was going to cause it, and now we know.
Yeah.
And it's the Steven Stamkos deal. And
like, you see these numbers and you realize that this is going to be much more... of an 05 lockout than it is going to be a 2012 lockout.
You think it's going to be a full season?
I don't know if it's going to be a full season, but it's going to be one of those things where the owners are going to be crying poverty again because, you know, we have too much money to spend and we spent too much of it. And that's going to be like, we got to go and roll back your salaries now and reset the dial. It's going to be one of those.
And like, meanwhile, like the NBA is giving out like $9 million a year contracts
to like
ninth men. It is
un-fucking believable how much money. Like Dwayne Wade, as we do this podcast, was in negotiations with Denver, right, to sign a 2-year $50 million contract.
Oh, really? It's that much? I saw 2 and 40
or
for Miami.
Whatever the like.
Well, it's 2 and 40 for Miami.
There are guys that are signing contracts I've literally never heard of that are signing for like $114 million.
Because the cap went insanely high this year, so like all these like mediocre dudes are getting
right.
get paid, and it's just like
yeah.
And okay, wait. I meant to look this up before the show, but this is like the prep work that we do. Okay, hold on. This is actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh,
okay. So what was the NHL salary cap coming out of the lockout in 2005-06?
It
do you remember?
Probably like 42.
Okay, it was. Drum roll, please.
Please,
as I slide through here. Oh, this is the wrong Wikipedia page.
Jesus,
keep tapping.
My arms are going to
keep
be
going.
Tired as shit
okay.
by the time you find this.
It's actually lower.
Okay.
It was $39 million.
Oh, all right. So I was in the ballpark.
Went to 44, then to 50 mm-hmm. the first
yeah.
2 years. So 2 years in, it was at 50. What do you think the NBA salary cap was in 2005-06?
2005-06? I'm going to say it was probably $80
million. $58
million. Really?
And look where it is now compared to the NHL.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so whenever you want to tell me about record revenues, Gary Bettman's good at what he does, blah, 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 I feel like this is a pretty good indicator of how one league is doing compared to how another league is
but
doing.
But isn't the Gary Bettman praise just based on like where hockey was, which was a small market Canadian sport, and then they grew
is.
It into a multiple $1 billion sport
yeah.
by figuring out people want to sit in a stadium and watch hockey games?
That's the thing, too, is, like, they figured out, like, this great way to, like, shake more money out of fans with the outdoor games. And still, it's just, like, the cap isn't moving. The Canadian dollar and stuff.
It's funny, because, like, it's basically the same thing they used to do, which is the way that you used to make money in the NHL Sugar Pie was that you would just create a new hockey sweater every year for your team. Like, that's how the Buffalo... I think the Buffalo Sabres would be bankrupt right now were it not for the 5 or 6 year stretch where they had a different jersey design each year. But then they figured out, wait a second, you play hockey in a baseball stadium, and then you could sell a different jersey for the teams also?
No matter how ugly they are, someone's going to buy them?
Make this one look like one from the 1930s.
Boy, the Avalanche Red Wings ones were the worst. But like the idea is like, okay, if we had, again, this is like somebody from my mailbag was like, who's a better general manager, Mark Bergevin or Harambe, the dead gorilla? And so like, I kind of thought about it, and Harambe would probably be having a better offseason. But like the point is like, okay, everyone's like, Gary Bettman did this. Mm-hmm. If we had a dead gorilla doing all the same stuff the last 10 years, like what would be different? Like there'd still be a TV deal. There'd be a new one in Canada a couple years ago. Like everything would be pretty much the same, right?
It would be the same. The dead gorilla wouldn't acknowledge the concussion effects for his players.
Right, he'd be like, ugh.
Would he?
That's my gorilla impression.
The dead gorilla would. Now, is this gorilla being manipulated Weekend at Bernie style to make these noises?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't have a dead gorilla like signing off on things. So you have to kind of have like Bill Daly prop him up and like put sunglasses on him and stuff. And the dead gorilla is just, and they're just like, Bill Daly's like, the dead gorilla says we're going to give it all to NBC. That's really? Right. That's kind of stupid. No, sorry.
Dead gorilla, we feel like Quebec City would be perfect for an expansion team.
Dead gorilla says it's Vegas. Sorry.
Dead gorilla's like, then at the All-Star, at the awards in Vegas, and he's like dancing with like Bill Daly propping him up. Look how alive he is.
And finally, someone who gets cheered giving out the cup. Your point about Bergevin is solid, though, because since the last time we had a puck soup was the day of the Subban trade. And since then, two other things have happened for Marc Bergevin and the Montreal Canadiens. The first is the news that he tried to sign Milan Lucic to come play for Montreal, which is like the I've been taxing my brain trying to think of a scenario in which the arch enemy, it's like the Joker joining the Justice League. There, we have a comic book writer on the show today. Like that's the thing the only thing I could think of is like, in what alternate universe would that locker room accept Milan Lucic as one of their own? Why? Because Dale Weiss isn't there anymore, so there won't be a murder during training camp.
Well, I mean, they signed Radulov and they have Weber,
and that's the second thing.
Right,
the Alex Radulov signing for a year and $5.75 million. Now, I got to admit that I am someone who is extraordinarily gullible and easily swayed.
Oh, look at my kids. I'm a changed man.
I did. Like, I was on that conference call with Radulov, and he did the whole thing where it's like, well, what's so different about you this time, curfew breaker? And he's like, well, I had a son, and now I live for him. And like a single tear roll down my cheek.
And like, meanwhile, I'm like reading the quotes on Twitter, like doing the jerk off with my hand. Like, yeah, okay, buddy. Because, you know, anyone, if you have a kid, you can't possibly stay out late and miss curfew and get drunk and be irresponsible.
Well, I mean, exhibit A over here, sir. But, you know, I felt like, you know, for a second, I'm like, you know, maybe this is life does change when you have a little one. And all of a sudden you realize that kid's going to grow up to one day read the internet and realize, oh, my daddy was a horrible man.
My daddy once stayed out late in Arizona.
My daddy's coach checked the hotel key code somehow illegally to know he wasn't in his room.
Like what did he even do that was so bad? He just stayed out and got drunk with one of the Kostitsyns?
One of the Kostitsyns.
I mean,
we assume if it was the Kostitsyns, it probably also involved gun running.
Yeah, those Kostitsyn brothers had kind of a run there for a while. The
Kostitsyn brothers would have been perfect for like a smoking aces sequel. The Kostitsyn brothers.
Like, I don't
They're
mind
in
that.
It too.
I don't mind that signing. I don't know. Like everyone's so convinced about how good it's going to be, but like he hasn't played in the NHL in 4 years. He's 30 years old now, which isn't old or anything. But I mean, like he's been out of the league for a long time.
It's
like,
1 year.
You don't know what it's going to be.
It's one. It's seven.
No, right.
And like, you know, you make a mistake and you send him off to Gulag after that.
It's got more of a chance to work. Semin never had a chance to work out. Radulov can work out. He could be a 55, 60-point guy next year for sure. Yeah. But the rest of it's just like a, and I don't even really so much mind Lucic. Like Lucic is like a re, like, okay.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second.
Okay, on July 1st, you're always going to overpay for Franz Nielsen, Milan Lucic, blah, blah, blah. But like you want to overpay for guys who are at least going to give you like 3 or 4 years of value. And then like Franz Nielsen turns 37, 38, is not going to look good. Like I'm okay with Lucic because he's going to put up numbers on that team. Same thing with Franz Nielsen. But like David Backes, in what world is that ever going to be worth $6 million
a year? It's redundant. It's
insane.
It's a pretty – so the Bruins signed Backes for 5 years.
5 and 30.
It's a good fit between like – reputation of player and reputation of team.
Totally.
Blue collar.
That's all it is. Yeah, guy works hard. He's a leader.
Hard. You can see him down in the ducks.
Good in the
rooms.
Good in the room. Yeah. he'll rescue puppies and bring them to the locker room and show them that don't step on the logo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
just like.
Right.
And he had his worst year in forever last year, and he looks like there's the mileage. And,
I mean, the first thought I had was that they look at the Penguins, who they have to beat, and they say, we need three good lines.
How do we get slower?
And
how do we make our team even slower than it already is?
I was thinking more like now we have someone to play against Bonino. Like they have three good centers now. Or they feel like Backes is legitimately a reason why they could trade Krejci.
I think
which would be crazy.
I think they're going to use him on the wing. I think he's going to be a top six right wing. I don't think they're going to use him as the third line.
Oh, so he's going to be Lucic.
Because they still have Ryan Spooner.
Is that what it is? The thought is that he's going to be Lucic?
Probably.
Minus the snarl. Well, I guess he has some of the snarl.
Yes. I mean, he did once murder Duncan Keith, was it? Who was? Remember that hit in the playoffs?
Yeah, it was.
Wakey Wakey?
Well, it was.
Wakey Wakey?
He got murdered.
Oh, he got murdered.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
I got my murders
no,
mixed
you
up.
Got, yeah, he was the murdered.
Yeah, he was the
murderer.
He was the killer. Not the killer.
Right. The Killy,
yeah, he's done some stuff, but yeah, he's a total American born.
Yeah, and you know, I was stunned that someone gave him 5 years, I guess that's the issue in St. Louis and why he's not back there. But let's talk about Lucic for a second, because one of the most fascinating things that happened during free agency was the recasting of Milan Lucic as Mark Messier, as this guy who is like the fucking Genesis project from Star Trek, where you fire him into a dead planet and all of a sudden it becomes bountiful with life and vegetation. Like, he's going to go to Edmonton and they're like, you know what? They were a really easy team to play against, but now they're going to be hard to play against. And like, they didn't have any leadership in the locker, but now he's going to go in there and chew bubblegum and kick ass, and now he's all out of bubblegum.
Remember how like he was really out of shape that one year? Maybe it was a lockout year where they came back and like he was clearly winded after 20 seconds of
right.
shifts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, now that he's paid and set for the rest of his career.
But doesn't it seem like we are revisiting the bullshit narratives of Boston Bruins championships past? Like, yeah, he was an important player on that team, and yeah, he's a real good power forward, and I think he should do fine there.
He'll
maybe he can't,
25,
maybe he
30
can't hang with Connor, who knows, but he's good to have on the team, and he's probably good in that room too. But my God, like, we went from hating the Oilers for trading the one of the top five left wings in hockey for a guy who might be a second line defenseman at best, to overpraising them for adding and then on top of it, my God, like the fucking fable writing that goes on now, because Lucic, the first thing he says is, I'm going there for McDavid. So now all the Oilers can be like, there it is, the McDavid effect. Everybody's going to come to Edmonton. We're going to have to close our borders. There's going to be so many people that want to come and play for the Oilers now.
We're going to have to overpay everybody to come here now.
It's going
to
be like that scene in World War Z where the zombies try to overrun the walls in Jerusalem. That's all the NHL players rushing to play with Connor. We're going to have to pour lava on them to keep them out.
Is that a real scene from the movie?
Well, they rush the wall, but they don't have lava in Jerusalem.
Oh, wait, what are you saying? Jerusalem doesn't have lava?
I'm saying it was a sheriff's star.
They could have that.
It was a sheriff's star. You could find it in Microsoft Clip Art.
That was some of the best tweets I ever saw, was the pictures from Schindler's List, where it's like, why did Hitler deputize all these people?
For those listening, like 2 months later, it's a reference to that Trump tweet.
I know.
About where he put the Star of David on the Hillary
podcast. The podcast where Greg and Dave started talking about the Holocaust was kind of out of nowhere, huh?
Well, I just feel like this is going to be our last podcast probably until August, and I just realized that people do listen at different times. So,
yeah,
you know, as much as our pop culture references are pretty dated, as I make that Wrath of Khan reference from 84 before, we occasionally have to probably spell it out better. But did you, I mean, you seem to be a a fan of the signing, though, the Lucic signing, like, even with the money.
As far as, like, you can be a fan of, like, bad July 1st signings, like, I think it's fine. Like, he's young enough where you'll get enough out of that contract before. And here's the other thing, too. The lockout's coming. So, like, what all these bad contracts, particularly now, that are going to go beyond 2020, the owners will find a way to fucking void it or get out
you're
of
right.
it.
You're right. Yeah.
And so, like, it's like the Shea Weber trade. Everyone's like, oh, man. If he retires, it's all going to fall on Nashville's butt, but the recapture, and it's just they'll figure out during the next lockout.
And the cap recapture would hurt Nashville.
Nashville.
But don't you think that, like, it's funny, like, whenever somebody does something that doesn't seem to make sense vis-a-vis league rules, sometimes you're like, oh, well, it's Dale Tallon with the fax machine. Like, he clearly just screwed up.
Right.
But then you see, like, David Poile, who's literally been a GM in this league since maybe when I was born. He was a GM in this league.
Oh, yeah, just in general. Yeah, yeah.
Don't you kind of feel like those guys know a little bit more than we do as far as what's coming down the pike?
In terms of, like, the next CBA? Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Or like when Lou didn't give up one of the number one picks for Kovalchuk.
Yeah, right.
You're just kind of like, boy, that's a – why would you not give up that pick and draft Stephane Matteau? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, a couple years later, oh, because he kind of knew that
because they know what's coming.
Rescind the penalty.
Like, you would, if you're the Predators, you would be terrified of Shea Weber retiring in that trade. That's, like, one part of the trade where you're like – but, like, they have to know
right.
the next CBA. Everyone gets one amnesty recapture exclusion according to Section 4, Subset 3 of the David Poile rule. heretofore forthwith in the adjudication of the machinations.
I hereby say we are no longer on the hook for that Weber contract. Why is that, Dave Poile? Oh, because of the Poile Amendment.
The Poile Amendment says clearly that if you rob the Montreal Canadiens in a trade, you are allowed to get away from the recapture penalty due to the contract that was signed. It'll be like this. It'll be like, here's the rule. If you sign into the contract, you're on the hook. But if it's an offer sheet that you match,
right.
Then according to that'll be the Poile rule.
Yeah, we'll grandfather you in on that.
Come back 4 years later, yell at us about the whole Trump Holocaust thing, and then this thing too, if we're right or wrong. Like when you're watching this in reruns, like old Friends episodes.
All right. Couple things before we give... that's interesting. A couple things before we give...
What the thing happened?
I'll tell you that later. A couple things before we give Steve Yzerman a lap dance, because that's got to happen, obviously.
He deserves it
for all the things the Lightning have done. Let's go with the team you were most disappointed in on July 1.
Oh man,
disappointed in either through inaction or action or what have you.
St. Louis a little bit.
Oh, that's a good choice.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is just weird. I don't understand what Florida is doing, because like Tampa, everyone's like Tampa and Florida did a great job, and I'm looking at like Tampa's contracts and it's like Stamkos at 8.5, you know, Hedman at a really good price, and then I look at Florida and I'm like, Vincent Trocheck, he may never score 20 goals again. Like Riley Smith at $5 million a year, it's like, yeah, every contract they sign from Ekblad to Trocheck to Smith, you look at it and they could be totally fine contracts, but they're just like not necessary at the moment. Like, why are you rushing to do these deals? There's so many deals with Florida, like Yandel.
It's too much.
But I get it. I get why you're doing that. Because you lose Brian Campbell. You need a guy who can move the puck. Thin market. Blah, 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 blah. I don't get what it just seems like they're paying a premium to re-sign their own guys when they don't need to.
They don't need to quite yet.
And then...
because you don't know if it works yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ekblad...
works. You had to do that because there's always a chance of an offer sheet there.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of hearing about offer sheets that never come. It's like the last three summers. It's
I know.
Look out for the offer sheet.
I know. That's because we had that Jacob Trouba tease last week. Where
Bruins were. that didn't come to fruition. But it was just a rumor I heard. Oh, sometimes rumors don't come to
Boston media.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we become those people? Like, just start making up shit.
Oh, I've long wanted to do that.
Like, I thought about that.
Wouldn't life be so much easier if you could just, like, swallow your professionalism and your pride and be Larry Brooks.
Right. Just, well, I don't, Larry knows stuff.
But Larry also puts out bullshit.
I'm trying to think of an example. I feel like he's generally...
You're talking about a step below Larry Brooks where there is no redeeming
just
reporting
nothing.
Value.
Like, you never...
like at least Larry will throw out a little bit of a NHLPA scoop here and there. Like, you're talking about guys that just simply like spew rumors.
Just like one day if I just were to go on Twitter and be like, sources tell me the Rangers and the Blues are discussing a Kevin Shattenkirk deal.
Yeah.
And then like now, it never happens.
Would
like,
you rather be that... or would you rather be an irredeemable hot takist? Because I've thought about both. Like at the height of Eklund's powers, I thought to myself, how exciting would it be to have an audience just by just putting out whatever bullshit you want that has maybe a grain of salt on top of a grain of sand of truth?
Well, I feel like the hot takist pays better.
I think so, too. Like, you ain't getting on TV as a rumor monger that doesn't have rumors come true.
Right.
But if I go on TV and say, I think LeBron really did great in winning that championship, but until he wins back-to-back ones in Cleveland, clearly not in the top 10 of all time.
And, like, you see Skip Bayless's contract to go to Fox
and
just say dumb shit on TV for 5 years? I would sell my soul in a second for half that. Like, Dave, what do you think about the Kevin Durant contract? You know what, I think he spent 9 years in that organization and he really wanted to just go somewhere and win a title. I don't blame him. No. How do you feel about it? Oh, he's a loser and a traitor, and but he's a bad person,
you know,
and disowned the entire city of
but you know what's interesting
soul.
about ESPN now is like, so Cowherd's gone and Whitlock's gone and Bayless is gone, you still have Screamin' A, but like, do they have, like, what do they do now? Do they start creating their own new strain of Bayless's, or does the coverage on that network go back to a place where I could watch it and then not want to throw up in my hands and then wash my face with the throw up in the hopes that my eyes will burn out?
It's never going to be the 90s again, man. We're not.
You see, that's where you're wrong, friend, because I was just listening to the Gin Blossoms on the radio, and I got to tell you, man, that music is timeless. If they come into the county fair, I'm there first row.
Like Butcher Gross is like doing highlights, and he's like, what Eddie Vedder is to Pearl Jam, Connor McDavid is to the Edmonton Oilers.
By the way, speaking of ESPN, like I have to admit, with Olbermann on last week, there are a few moments on this podcast that made me happier than to see the joy of life sucked out of him when I made my Wally Absorbine Joyner reference.
That one,
to Chris
that one
Berman.
Winded me too. That was rough.
Oh God, it was great. Just like 25 years of Olbermann having to hear that bullshit from Chris Berman was just like coming back.
I didn't know they grew up together until we talked to him. I had no idea. Like, so he's been listening to that shit for like 5 decades.
Oh, it was great. It was the best. Jeff Trash Bagwell.
Nope. I got to workshop this. What else can we do?
Jeff Ziploc Bagwell.
Jeff Bagmanwell. No, I can't put it in between the entire last name. Oh, let's go back. Paper or plastic Bagwell. No, too long.
Jeff Grocery Clerk Bagswell. No, there's no S in there.
And like Olbermann's like, how about, I don't know, Jeff Barf Bagwell, leave me alone.
Oh, that was what would be perfect. That would be the perfect overall response.
Right.
And then Dan Patrick's like, sorry, there's somebody talking. I was about to sign this deal with NBC for $11 billion.
I have perfect hair and I'm going to go do whatever I want.
I am inviting Jerome Bettis to my wedding, which is true.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that made me want to never be friends with athletes. The idea that, like, you would one day read, oh, yeah, and fucking Greg had, you know,
Mike Peluso was at the
wedding. Corey Schneider was his best man. I'm just like, and then you'd be like, that's kind of weird. Like, I know he's a Devils fan, but like, that's a little bit close to athletes than you should probably be.
Like, you should become one of those, like, if you ever become like a super duper billionaire and like you can just like pay people to do stuff, you just pay like the Devils to come to your wedding and like be in your ushers and stuff.
It's funny you should say
pictures.
That because I did Blogs of Balls 1 year in Toronto. It's actually where me and Ruby got together.
Yeah, I was there.
And that's right. Were you there? Were you on the panel that
I did? I was there.
Motherfucker. Yeah. There was like 25 people on the panel.
Sat on this, like five.
You
of us,
and Barry but, okay, and, sure. and the Curtain Blog Boys and everybody else.
There's no, but, yeah, Barry, yeah, the Curtain Blog Boys,
and
Elliot Friedman.
Classing up the place.
And Elliot just like telling actual interesting stories while the rest of us.
But were you there
snarked.
for the session with Thuzio?
Oh, with like Tiki Barber?
Yeah, because that was the thing. Like,
that
if you could
really
rent
weird.
Out athletes to come and do, like, go bowl. Their big thing was, like, you can go bowling with, like, Tiki Barber.
Like, oh, man, I've always wanted a slow dance with Browning Nagel at my prom. How much for that? It was like the weirdest like whoring out of athletes I've ever seen ever. And I don't think does it exist anymore?
I don't know.
Things go.
Yeah, I had an interesting request I was hoping you guys would be able to fulfill.
All right, yeah, please go ahead.
I'd like to go bowling with Jared Bowl.
Hi, this is Dave. I'm calling from New Jersey. how much would it cost? This is kind of weird. To get Claude Vilgrain to give me a massage, like nothing nude, but I was a huge fan of the '90s, and just like my shoulders, $40. What do you say?
Yeah, I was wondering how much would it cost to smoke hash with Nash,
Steve or Rick.
Probably Rick, knowing my budget.
Yeah. How much for both those? Is there like a package deal? Is it like 40 for one, 90 for the other, and like combined we do it for 100? Because I'm a rich, crazy guy and I want to do weird stuff with athletes.
Yeah, that would be the greatest.
Like, all right, how about the crash line? How much would it cost to get the crash line to paint my garage?
But for real though. Like, if it cost me, like, say, $45 an hour, I would hire Sean Bradley to come to Wegmans with me.
I need that oatmeal on the top shelf, yes. Sean.
Sean, there's a balloon up near the roof that my kid wants. Could you do me a solid?
It's like, sir, we can't have him do that. You keep calling and have him do that. It's actually really embarrassing for him and his family. He's actually a really smart businessman, and he's like, how much? I've got the money to make this happen.
You know what? It's not my fault that I'm so tall.
Oh, wait, there we go.
And you're like, I'm sorry, Sean, but a satellite flew in front of your face as you were speaking and I couldn't hear you.
So here's the Lawrence Taylor's Thuzio page.
Oh, this is so Thuzio still is a thing.
Thuzio exists, but the website's not really in a spot where you can like click through it and find like, but it's like Lawrence Taylor, $25,000 for an appearance, mm-hmm. which I don't know what that entails.
Yeah.
$4,000 for a tweet.
Wait, Lawrence Taylor will tweet something for you for $4,000?
I'm guessing like he'd just be like, hey, Wyszynski, at Wyszynski, great, you're a great guy or whatever. And then like you would give him $4,000.
So the tweet is now the new athlete will leave, star, celebrity will leave your answering machine message for you.
Like that Phil Hartman thing, you ever hear that? Like it's like that, only this is like way fucking sadder.
Wow. That's incredible.
Like, Lawrence Taylor, man, how much money did you blow on cocaine in the 80s where you're completely out of money? Like, that, I'm saying this, but like, are you kidding me? I would tweet something for somebody for $4. If you have $4 and you PayPal it to me, I will tweet things about you that are really nice.
My biggest disappointing team was the Red Wings, only because at the draft...
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. I forgot about we were talking about hockey.
At the draft, they cleared the decks to try to sign Stamkos and then didn't even talk to him.
Yeah, they kind of got...
Like, that was really kind of sad.
Kenny Holland had a weird...
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry, like, the Red Wings, I know where they are right now as a team. Like, they're young and whatever, but, like, the Steve Ott, Thomas Vanek signings for that team are, you know, they're terrible. And like, I, you know, because here's the thing, right? If you replace those words with what would be the comparison to Steve Ott at this point? If you replace those words with
a garbage can someone
with,
set on fire.
Zenon Konopka and Jonathan Chichu, you'd be real disappointed, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They basically signed Zenon Konopka.
No.
Actually, Jonathan Chichu.
Everyone's like Radulov or Radulov. We gotta get like a pronunciation guide for some of these NHL players, like Zidlicky, Zidlicky. But like Radulov, everyone's like, oh, he's Semin. Like Vanek is Semin. He's done. Like he's not going to be worth.
He's a loss. There's a certain class of goal scorers that become just bad players.
He's very Danny
Heatley. Danny Heatley, yeah. Jonathan Chichu, Semin was like that. Yep. I mean, and again, like I know that like bringing up Semin as a bad player is going to kick the hornet's nest of analytics people, but like that's kind of like Vanek's in that class of guys who used to be on top of the world, 40 goal guys that aren't there anymore. And we'll never get back there.
Like he's just a lot of mileage. He was never like a sniper. Mm-hmm. He was more like a, you know, find the quiet spot in front of that guy. It's just not going to.
The signing I liked least, by the way, because I just don't like this guy as a player. And maybe I'll get proved wrong now that he's going to be playing with like Kater and Thornton.
Is Michael Boddicker.
Michael Boddicker. Like 4 years, $16 million for Boddicker. I never really liked his game.
Did the NHL void that deal, by the way?
Why?
Because it was like too front-loaded. I thought I saw that tweet yesterday. This is this kind of show prep that we do where in the middle of our vodka, yeah, I don't see anything. I thought I saw a General Fanager tweet where they were like that the contract was voided because like it didn't fit the percentages that it's supposed to be in terms of like a multi-year
That's
deal.
That's kind of fun.
Let me see. Can you go to General? Just hang on, folks. This is a professional broadcast where we're totally prepared for all this sort of stuff.
I didn't like that one. But, you know, for the most part, like, here's the thing that happened on July 1. Like, there was a little bit of crazy, but there was also a lot of things that made some sense. And also, I'm really happy that there was that much action. Because as a guy who's been on the trade deadline show on Sportsnet before, when there was fuck all happening.
That was bad this year.
Like, at least there was stuff going on. Like, we were watching TSN here, me and Leahy, during it, and they only got to the fourth level of panel, the Bruce Arthur, Steve Simmons panel, like three times maybe.
The grinder line. The grinder line panel.
The Bruce, and not to say the fourth line, well, one of them's the fourth line. Not to say that, like, it was Bruce, Farber, and Simmons, but, like, the rest of the time they were spending it with Duthie and then the Trade Breakers and then whatever that other one is, the Ray Ferraro, Pierre Maguire panel or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
They didn't get to that fourth one a lot, and then John Scott came on a few times. So there's a lot of action. But you seem like you found the thing you were looking for.
Well, his original deal had to just be reworked because it violated the 35% variability rule. But they fixed it. It's fine. The thing that I hate the most about free agency is every single big contract sucks to people, whether it's Backes, Lucic, Nielsen. But like every like Jonathan Marchessault contract, it's like, wow, great value.
Yeah.
Like Michael Grabner. Nathan Gerby.
Yeah.
Like all these guys like that, like Teddy Purcell. Oh my God, those are the best deals of the day. Those guys are not going to make the difference one way or the other. You know, like they're good to have. They're positive players, but it's just everybody, like Thomas Vanek. Oh my God. Thomas Vanek, the hockey player, hasn't changed. It's just his contract has. He's still the same dude that's in steep decline, but it's like they see that price and they're just like, oh man, that could totally be worth it. I love that deal. People love the idea of like a bargain more than just overpaying for the guy that's going to actually do stuff and not be worth it. Drives me nuts.
All right, Steve Yzerman. Quick story. 1 year at the All-Star game, I want to say it was, or the draft. I forget which one it is. Probably the draft. I was out at dinner with Scotty Waz and Leahy and a few people. Waz hosts a really good podcast you should check out called The Face-Off Hockey Show. And we were in this restaurant, and we were blessed with something that a table of boys always hopes for at a restaurant, which is
naked waitresses.
This will close. The single hottest waitress maybe in the city. And she came over to our table. She took our drink orders. And we were so excited. We were like, this is great.
Of course.
Just be to grace these out of shape, fugly nerds with your presence. It's just great. It was the only time that we saw her that evening. Another waiter took over for her and bought us our drinks and then facilitated the rest of our visit at this restaurant. And it became apparent why later in the evening as we looked over to a table across the way, saw our beautiful young lass at the pub serving another table. And at the head of that table, Stephen F. Yzerman.
Wow.
And we said to ourselves, we are not Steve Yzerman. And this is underlined and underscored and exclamation pointed now.
So, like, my question is, what's Yzerman doing at a Red Robin? he's a wealthy man.
Well, you know, bottomless fries, Dave. I mean, you know. Steve Yzerman waits out Steven Stamkos, preys upon the idea that he wants to stay in Tampa, gets him at 8.5 through 2024, re-signs Victor Hedman under $8 million, $7.875 million through 2025.
Barely more than Ekblad, by the way.
Yeah, Vasilevskiy, $3.5 million through 2020, where he'll still be an RFA.
Kind of a weird deal.
Buys out Matt Carl. Well, it's the deal saying that they don't want to pay Ben Bishop anymore.
I get it, but it's just still, it's a little too much. But it's still good.
I cannot believe he pulled off all this, especially the Hedman one. Like when last you and I met, like, you know, Stamkos' deal was going to be like the lighthouse, you know, it's going to guide the ships in. He's the captain and everybody will take less. And usually we're all like, that's horseshit. But this time it wasn't.
Like, he just got everyone to fall in line behind him.
He just really did.
Like, it's one thing where Stamkos signs for 8.5 and like say you're Kucherov and you're like, buddy, I don't deserve more than 8.5, but I deserve 7. I'm awesome. And then like Hedman's like, no, we should all take less. And then Kucherov's like probably like, okay, we should all take less. Like it's just an amazing right. trickle down effect that's going to happen now there, where like they're probably going to. The only bad thing Yzerman's done the last couple of years is Ryan Callahan.
Was Callahan? That's
going to cost them. And
Filippula, to go back to your pronunciation rant before,
Filippula.
It came in a little bit high too. But like,
yeah, but he does stuff.
Well, I mean, Carl was a mistake, but that's a mistake that you can take care of.
Yeah, actually, wow, Yzerman's a really bad GM.
No, he's not. He's a great GM. And the thing about this Lightning thing that's amazing is that like it's not like Kevin Durant going to the Warriors where like you have to win 74 games next year and the championship for it to be a success. Like the Lightning can literally wait until 2022 to win a cup and it's still within their window.
They got time now.
It's crazy.
Like they're gonna lose one of their forwards to the expansion draft or to like some sort of wake to get something from them, like in a trade or something. But like if they lose Killorn after next year because of it, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
So praise to C.V. Yzerman. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Dustin Brown. You wanted to talk about what? You had something in your craw, too, that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, human garbage can Sean Avery.
Human garbage can Sean Avery. And also fucking your man. Listener mail and also the top 8 things to eat at a barbecue and or a cookout. Which we had to specify before because when I
instead
I originally,
of eat, we should say consume.
Yeah, because I originally pitched this list and you thought it was like the top 8 things that you can barbecue. And
I was
like,
confused.
Beef, chicken.
Right, I was confused.
Is a steak beef?
I was both confused and really wanted to go to one of your cookouts because I was like, if he's got 8 different like forms of like food that you can eat at a barbecue, like I'm totally going to go to this place. This is awesome.
All right, we'll be right back. Well, the bad news is that the guest that we were going to have on the show today got stuck in horrific traffic on the GW Bridge and couldn't make it today. But we're going to have him on later. We don't want to give it away.
Right.
But we'll have him on again. The good news is that Dave Lozo, through his amazing Sherlock-like snooping abilities, has been able to figure out the mystery of the Margot Robbie paragraph from the first segment of the show.
I magically Googled Vanity Fair and Margot Robbie, and I found the story.
Sir, you Yahooed it, I believe.
Oh, sorry, I Binged it. Is that a Yahoo property?
I think we're still partners with Bing. Yeah, sure.
I don't know there's still a Yahoo search thing.
Of course.
Great company. Invest.
So that Margot Robbie story, as you probably all know from Vanity Fair.
It's a Vanity Fair story.
And it was written by Rich Cohen, who co-created the atrocious HBO show Vinyl.
Right.
And has written some very purple prose. Do you have any more purple prose about Margot Robbie?
I'll just scan to it. There's a lot of we in this. Like a lot of like we're together. Like we get it. You're writing about her.
Yeah.
Some quotes.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, she was famous, period, in Australia. He seems to be very infatuated with the fact that she's Australian.
Yeah, you know, and that's fine, I guess. She's also a pretty good actress. Although, what the hell was she doing in that Tarzan movie?
Yeah, I'm never going to see that.
It seems like that's one of those movies where they gave a lot of money to some people to be above the title.
No, it's not that. It's bullshit that, like, I'm in that movie the whole time, and they, like, take my head off, and they put Skarsgård's head on my ripped, muscly body.
I recognized your 8-pack.
Right. Like, I worked out 8 hours a day for 6 months for that role, and apparently my acting wasn't good enough. But, like, you know, it's cool to see my ripped, muscular back carrying Margot around, but it's just, you know, I'm not getting paid for it. It's just bullshit.
That movie is interesting to me because it's not a Tarzan origin story where he's, like, Lord Greystoke and he's dropped off in the jungle. Like, he's already been Tarzan. And then he goes back to civilization, but has to somehow go back to being Tarzan.
It's one of those man versus.
It's also one of those
stories.
Things where it doesn't make a lick of goddamn sense why they keep on bringing back these old serials like and try to make them, you know, like no one gave a shit about the Lone Ranger. They put a bird on Johnny Depp's head, and no one gave a shit about the Lone Ranger.
I like that movie.
It was a terrible movie.
I liked it. I don't know why.
And then no one's going to give a shit about Tarzan. No one gave a shit about John Carter from Mars.
Like I feel like we're coming to the end of like a decade-long stretch of just like recycling stuff. And we're eventually going to get to like this new golden era of movies where new stuff will happen.
But what new stuff? You see, I was just thinking about that the other day.
I don't know.
Whenever they try something new, it fails miserably. Jupiter Ascending could have been a universe, right?
Well, no one wanted to go see it. Well, that was bad. That was a really bad movie.
But here's the thing that's going to happen. Just like we have Star Wars movies now, again, God bless.
Yeah, great.
You know what's going to be the next thing? Like 10 years from now?
What?
Harry Potter.
Oh, fuck off. No.
But these are going to be the Harry Potter movies that really adhere to the vision of J.K. Rowling in the books.
Harold Potter in the midlife crisis.
No, it's
Harold Potter, yeah, and I can't get my wife.
It's
going to
be one of two things. It'll be a reimagining of the original Potter books, or it's going to be catching up with Harry and his kids some years down the line.
New boy wizards.
Harold Potter
and Harry's like the headmaster at Hogwarts.
Harold Potter in the lower back pain. Harold Potter in the stuck in middle management.
Harold Potter.
Harold Potter and the dissatisfaction of my midlife crisis. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, seriously. Like, we just...
Hey, you want to see a magic trick? I can make this beer turn into a 16-ounce.
I hate you, Dad. I'm a fucking magic man. I'll fucking wave this wand and send you back to your room, young lady. Yeah, that's what I want to watch in a movie. Go back to your room, you Randy Tot. You're lucky your mother's not here to see this because I accidentally killed her when I was drunk with my magic.
Look, I'm only going to say this once. You're a fucking wizard. You can't keep your room clean and you're a wizard. Like, there's literally, you could just say, expecto cleanoris, and the room is fixed. Why don't you do it?
Cleanoris, that sounds...
Cleanoris.
Like, can't find the cleanoris in the book. It's only a rumor.
The words.
A thing too that I've noticed is, like, I don't know if this was like a thing in the 70s and the 80s, but like, I feel like we don't get a lot of new movies or new things because all the same actors work with all the same writer directors and everything. Like, Clooney's always going to be in a Soderbergh
film, yeah.
Like, Tarantino's got his same guys.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything else is just like a superhero remake, reboot.
Well, it's just
twist.
That. I mean, that's part of the thing is like, there's new the new things are going to be extensions of the Marvel universe, yeah. Until once again, as I said about Harold Potter, there's going to be like a new Iron Man in like 10 years. There's going to be like just a new Iron Man. There's going to be like, we're going to reboot Iron Man with Zac Efron.
God. It's so weird that like
he won't even need the suit because he's that chiseled.
He works out a lot. If you want to talk about a dude that works out too much, like, I feel like he's working out too much and he's not picking his movies as closely. He's not judging the movies as well as he could be. But like, it's weird too that like we're in an age where there's like all superhero movies and like, technically Ben Affleck has played both Superman and Batman in his career. Chris Evans has played the Human Torch
and
Captain
America.
Like we have to get more fresh ideas where it's just like, I got an idea. What is it? The superhero movie. Who can we get to play it? How about that guy who was in that superhero movie in 06? All right. Like, at least Harold Potter's putting out that Swiss Army Man where he plays a dead guy who farts the whole time.
Well, Harold Potter at least has tried to have a career as an actor.
Yeah. Like,
and the problem is that, like, you get a guy like Chris Hemsworth that tries to do the same thing. Like, he was in a movie, a Ron Howard movie, where they're fighting a giant whale, and it was, like, based on Moby Dick. And it made about as much money as this podcast will. And like
$10 million? Oh my God. Good for you, Chris. I watched Black Hat for the first time the other day.
Wasn't that the other Hemsworth, or was that Chris?
No, that was Chris. That was Chris. Chris Hemsworth is not... I always thought it was great how like British people could just slide into the American accent like super easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Chris Hemsworth's fighting it with, like, every word he says in the movie. Like,
yeah.
You can tell he's...
Well, it's like, I just got done watching the first season of Daredevil on Netflix because I'm way behind the curve on that. And Charlie Cox, the guy who was on Boardwalk Empire...
Charlie Cox.
Thank you. He's, like, Irish or whatever. And, like, he's supposed to be... grew up in Hell's Kitchen. And also, he does not sound like Joe Mullen.
It's just...
he sounds like an Irish guy trying not to sound Irish.
It's just too hard for some. Like, I was watching a movie for the first time. I'd never heard of it. It's called Dark Blue, where, like, it takes place, like, 4 days before the Rodney King verdicts.
Oh, wow.
And I'd never heard of it. Never heard of it. And Brendan Gleeson plays, like, the head of the LAPD,
mm-hmm.
And he's fighting it. Every word he says is a little bit mixed and muddled, and then English, and then, no, not anymore. And now it's back again. And go kill that. I mean, go kill that. It's just so... It's just hard. Like, not everybody has the flawless ability to do an accent like I do, so I don't want to judge anybody.
Captain, what's the best way to go find the perp? Oh, you're going to take La Brea.
Oh, throw some cuffs on him and throw him into the goddamn brig. It's not a brig. We're not on a ship. Throw him in jail, you mean, right?
Oh. The saddest part of that movie is when he was looking up at that tree and that zombie blood got into his eye. And told his family to leave, and I'm going to cry right now.
He really tried. He's like, I want to kill Colin Farrell. He killed that. He killed a priest and a child.
God, Bruges is such the greatest movie.
This is a really good hockey podcast we got.
Dustin Brown did a conference call because he is the deposed captain of the Los Angeles Kings.
You're fired.
And he said a lot of things in this conference call. And he said, for example, Brown said, this is from Josh Gruber's story, Brown said he understood the decision and respected it, but didn't appreciate how news of this choice leaked to the media while he was going over particulars with the Kings on the leadership transition. I'm pretty sure my wife and my friends don't have people's numbers to leak it, and they wouldn't leak it. It was just disappointing how it all unfolded from my perspective. We were kind of going through the process of figuring it out, and it wasn't like a 15-minute meeting, and that was it. I probably talked to Dean Lombardi for like 20 minutes to 2 hours, five or six times. So it's like, 12 hours? Jesus Christ. It was a process, and it leaked kind of in the middle of that process. And quite honestly, I thought that it should have been addressed then, and it was pretty awkward and stressful for about 2 to 3 weeks. Dustin Brown is going to be an amazing member of the Las Vegas Black Knights, by the way.
He's going to be a leader for that team.
I mean, he is going to get plucked in that expansion draft quicker than you can say Dustin Brown, former captain.
Him and Matt Molson are the two guys I would bet lots of money on being on that Vegas team.
Yeah.
When it happens, just because of like the situation, the teams, the contracts.
Right.
But like,
I kind of, do you feel bad for him? Like, here's the thing. Like, Dustin Brown has been the captain of that team forever.
Yeah.
But if you asked 100 Los Angelinos who the captain of the Kings was, most of them would probably say...
The who?
Doug Christie.
They have a hockey team?
They would probably say Drew Doughty. And before that, they might have said Mike Richards.
Right.
You know?
But like, I get the one part I got was...
Now they would probably say Andrei Kopitar.
What'd you say?
Now they would probably say Andrei Kopitar because he is a captain.
But like... the point he made where he's like, it'd be one thing if like the team got together and was like, this guy shouldn't be captain anymore. He'd be like, okay, I get it. But like the fact that like management just fucking, because they've had two shitty years in a row, is like, let's change the captain. Like I can kind of see his point.
The thing about Dustin Brown that I've always found really fascinating, by the way, is that like, and you heard this not only on the down low, but also kind of inferred by his teammates, like he's never been one of the boys. Like it's hard for me to imagine a captain of a team not being one of the boys, but
what
he's not.
Mean?
He's like a dad. He's like a husband. Like he doesn't hang with that. Which again, at the end of the day, is probably to his benefit considering where the Kings went.
Right.
You know? Like he's come on, Dustin. We're going to the border. Don't look in the trunk.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Is like Dustin Brown's wondering how things leak out in the LA Kings organization. Really. Like, that's the one thing I would know for sure. Like, oh, yeah, look at that.
Sources tell the Post that he had 75 pounds of meth in his car.
And then, like, it turns out it's just baby formula for the kids. That's all it is.
Sources tell the Post that he actually burned his contract at the border in front of the border guards, saying, meth is more important to me than my contract.
2 years removed from the whole loyalty thing. Oh, I'm just loyal to a fault.
But that's so it's not a surprise. But how I mean, what do you do that? Like, wouldn't you just like he's got a no trade of 10 teams. Like, wouldn't you just throw that in the trash and be like, I got to get out of here now because I'm so not important.
But like wherever he goes, he's probably going to be there for 1 year before he goes to Vegas. Like,
Vegas,
they're
kind of
just stuck. They're stuck with
that
him
was
for
the other thing. Like first segment, we talked about that. We talked about the July 1st stuff. That was the other thing, too. Like, the jockeying for Vegas was interesting. Like, Darren Helm's contract, to me, is a Vegas contract. Like, he has got a five-year deal.
Yeah.
And there ain't no way that they need him on a five-year term. But you know who might? Vegas. For a speedy penalty killer?
Yeah. Like, I feel like every goalie's going to Vegas.
There's
every
a lot of bait in the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, Darren Helm, I don't know. I saw like one of our questions. I don't know if we're gonna do it or not. We shouldn't do it. But one question was like, it was just like, when are you gonna do an expansion draft? And like, I did one 3 weeks ago, but they were telling you to do one. But it's like, if you do one now, like you're just one Ducks trade away from having to do a new one again. Like, you don't know what's gonna be like the lay of the land come like the end of June is of course gonna be Greg Wyshynski. He's the greatest lay in the land. But
hey, all right.
But like, there's gonna be dudes signed, traded, hurt, bought out. I love thinking about Vegas. Going to Vegas next week.
Woo!
Interviewing for the GM job. Don't tell anybody. That's an exclusive to the Puck Suit podcast. But like Dustin Brown's going to be a Las Vegas general, Las Vegas,
and I'll Black Knight. But I also thought I'll freely admit that I got this one wrong. I thought that James Reimer signing with the Panthers was
that one.
So
like,
he could be dangled, but I think it's like Luongo didn't have a no move. He has a no trade.
But I was me and Yost were going back and forth on Twitter about this. Let's say next year Luongo has the same year he already had this year, and there's no like secret thing where he's like, I'm going to retire soon or whatever. And he's like, he should have been a Vezina finalist this year. Let's say he's a Vezina finalist.
He's still pretty
year.
Damn good.
Right. Let's say he has like a 928. Panthers get to the conference finals with Roberto Luongo. How do you not protect Luongo going into the next year when you've signed all these dudes this summer to sort of like go for it now?
Yeah.
You're going to like, let him leave?
At the very least, you bait the hook with Reimer in the hopes that someone else doesn't get taken too, especially on the blue line.
Well, I mean, there's only going to be two goalies drafted, right?
Right.
That's the way it works. So
maybe like that, yeah.
But like if you leave, like I think they would probably gamble, I guess, now that I thought about it, is they would probably protect Reimer and say, I dare you to take Luongo in that contract. And they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think they would do. But
you wanted to talk about how Sean Avery is a piece of shit.
Great. I mean, he's the height of comedy. He's a comedic genius where he woke up one day and said, I have an idea for a bit. I'm going to go walk around New York and wake up homeless people and ask them for the time. Because the joke is, as a homeless person, they don't really have much in the way of property, don't have a watch, and they're asleep. So even if they do have a watch, they're going to be all groggy and homeless and not know what time it is. And on top of all that, I'm going to put it all on Snapchat. Help the brand. Help the social media world of Sean Avery at the expense of laughing at homeless people.
I also read
how
somewhere...
How fucking deranged are you as a human being where that is your idea to do... Like, Sean Avery is a millionaire. He can do whatever he wants. I'm going to go wake up homeless people and ask them what time it is.
I remember also reading a thing that said that like he was tired of people asking him what time it was in New York, like walking around the city. So this was also his response to that.
Are they homeless people asking him? Are they like, is it revenge?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's a homeless person to Sean Avery. Like, that's not Sean Avery. Or Andy, Andy from Bravo.
Andy Cohen.
There it is.
Someone
tweeted at me the other day and said, how do you possibly still defend this piece of shit based on what he did with these homeless people? And like, I come back to this thing about Avery. I'll defend him as a player to the end because I think that he had value as a player before he became kind of clownish towards the end.
Yeah.
And I'll defend him in the sex joke suspension because that was ridiculous that he got suspended for that.
Yeah. It was fucking biz bad.
It was bad, but stupid. Come on. But was, come on.
It wasn't like he fucking came out of the fucking showers, had his coat on. It was just like, hey, you guys put your cameras on? Because he thought of like a really funny idea he wanted to do that was fucking stupid.
Right. It was stupid. But at the same time, it's like when we all get... This is before the Department of Player Safety stopped suspending people.
Yeah.
This is back when they were suspending a lot of people.
Right.
The NHL, that is. That was one of those things where you're like, oh my God, this guy took his stick and kabonged the other guy on the head like he was Captain fucking Caveman,
kabong.
But he got less games than the guy who told the sex joke. And like, that was the thing about it that I hated. Like, they gave him, six games?
It ended up being six. It was like indefinite, and then they, whatever, appealed it or got it down to six.
And I know it was because he's an asshole, and I know it was because he needed therapy, sure, but like, at the same time, it's like, come on.
He already had a past and everything, but like, again, like if... Like, dude, imagine if some dude went on a podcast and said something about your fiance.
I'd be really upset about it.
Like, what would you want to have happen to that guy?
I would take care of him on my own.
Of course.
Like, I mean, real men.
Greg Vigilante would just go over there.
Yeah, I would say, excuse me, sir, do you think we should... And I'll push up my glasses, step outside.
But like, if you're running a sports league, you can't have your players going in front of the camera and like referencing, you know, having sex with other players' girlfriends that you used to date. Like, that's, you can't do that. And like, and not only that, it's like the Rick Riley tweet from yesterday, from Tuesday, where he made the comment about Kate Upton. Did you see that tweet?
Yeah, I did.
Like, everything about that joke is bad.
He said
everything.
He said Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors was like putting a third boob on Kate Upton,
which is gross. Which is gross.
To which I said, you know, a lot of people are very upset about Rick Riley and using this tweet as further evidence that he's garbage. But I just think that this tweet reinforces the fact that he's never seen Total Recall.
There's no way anyone could have not seen Total Recall. I think that's the thing. Is like the premise to the, like, that's the thing. Like, the Sean Avery premise and the Rick Reilly premise don't even make any fucking sense.
No.
Where, like, if Kate Upton gets naked in front of you and she has a third boob, you're like, get out.
Oh, what a mutant.
Don't touch me.
Yuck.
Ew.
Oh, geez. More like Kate Upchuck.
Right. And Sean Avery woke up one day and is like, oh, man, that guy's currently having sexual intercourse with a woman I've had sexual intercourse with. I got a really funny idea for after the morning skate.
It's a pretty terrible thing. If they had suspended him for that game for his own protection, that's fine. It was the long term suspension that I thought was.
But
yeah,
history, the Jason Blake stuff.
Yeah, sure. He's garbage.
He really needs help.
Right.
But the homeless thing is just it's demented.
It's beyond the pale. But the problem I have with Avery when he played is as far as like people portraying him as garbage is this. I didn't agree with the sloppy second suspension, and I didn't agree with the NHL inventing a rule because he found a way to distract a goalie with a stick that wasn't covered in the rule book. And like, it takes them 5 years to enact any rule in this league, except for that one time where they invented a rule in the rule book that said, oh, and by the way, you can't wave your stick in front of the goalie's eyes.
And it didn't result in a goal either.
It didn't.
Puck came out of the zone, then came back in, and
it was
scored.
It was genius.
Right. No problem with that.
We've had 100 years of pricks trying to figure out ways to get under people's skins. And not only is it the goalie he called Fatso,
right,
but it's the he found a way to do it, and they had to invent a rule.
I think that should be a thing. Like, it's like when you defend a basketball player trying to shoot, and you put your hand in front of his eyes as he goes up.
Right,
that's just a way to defend the guy. It's a way to get in his head.
Right,
totally okay with him doing that.
I hated that too.
But he was a shitty. I don't think of a hockey player.
I've told this story on the other podcast, but I've not done it here, and I feel like it's a new audience, so I'll tell it here. Avery was going to write for us on Puck Daddy, and he was going to write for us in the year in which he made the sloppy seconds joke. And we had his first column. It was going to be a deal where, much like this podcast, it was going to be anything but hockey. And and his first piece for us, for Puck Daddy, was going to be a piece about a band that he really liked. And it was going to be a review of their album and what it means to him. And I read the piece and it was fine. He actually wrote it. It wasn't like as told to Greg Wyshynski. Like, it was a thing that Avery wrote, and it was good.
This band was better than making fun of homeless people on the internet.
So it is ready to rock and roll and go on our website, you know, on like a Wednesday or whatever it was. And like, and we were super excited, and it was going to be a thing that ran in the morning, and it was going to be one of those big splashes. Sean Avery writes for Puck Daddy. It's like, holy shit, this is the perfect marriage between an asshole writing for a site I hate, you know?
Sean Avery.
Right. Yes. So I'm actually driving to a Caps game when I get a call from somebody at Yahoo, and they're like, did you hear the news? I'm like, what? They're like, you remember that thing that Avery said earlier today about the sloppy seconds? I'm like, yeah, man, it was huge. Like, it's going to be so big to have this guy on our site tomorrow, being that he's so notorious now. They're like, yeah, they suspended him indefinitely for it. I'm like, hubba what? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. So I go to the Caps game, and I get on the phone, and I send Avery a message, right? I think I called him. I send him a message. I'm like, hey, like, this is really big news, you know? And I kind of feel weird, like, your debut column being about a band when the rest of the world is waiting for you to comment on this, and you haven't yet. And so I was wondering if maybe you could just, like, spit a paragraph out about the suspension or whatever, and then we can just kind of like tack it on the end or whatever. And he wrote back and he's like, nah, man, I'm cool. So I go back to Yahoo. I'm like, yeah, Avery doesn't really want to talk about the gigantic news-breaking suspension he just got, so I don't know what we should do. And they're like, well, we probably shouldn't run his column because it's dumb to do that when he's like in the news, and we're going to look like a bunch of assholes running this music review by this guy who just got a suspension for saying it's another player in the league has his sloppy seconds.
Can't get enough Soul Asylum.
And so we held it, and eventually, like, when he got done with the suspension, he's less like, yeah, I'm not into this gig anymore.
And
that was the only thing he ever did?
Yeah. He never wrote another thing for us, and it never published.
Oh, really?
Because we felt so weird about publishing this thing at a time when he needed to... Like, the whole bit was that he was going to get paid to write for us. So, like, if you're going to get paid to write for us, you should write about the thing that is newsworthy, even if it's not the band. So I still have that column somewhere in my email. We've never published it before, and we never published anything from him henceforth. Yeah, so that was the sloppy seconds thing killed his career as a Puck Daddy columnist, was the story.
That's fair.
Yeah, right?
That's fair.
Exactly. So here's the thing about this podcast, this episode of the podcast, besides it being a free skate with me and Dave. It is happening in July. It is going to be the last podcast until we reconvene in August for one, which means that it's the summer. And being the summer... Lozo and I have decided to piece together a top eight list for you. Personal preferences, the top eight food items that you would consume at a cookout and our barbecue.
Got a list.
His top eight, my top eight. We don't know what each other wrote. There will probably be some crossover of some sort. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen, from your friends at Puck Soup. Hopefully you're playing along at home. We'll give you a moment to compile your own top eight list. Okay, there it was.
Okay, there you go.
Top eight foods at a barbecue / cookout. Number eight for me, Dave Lozo, barbecue chicken legs, like a drumstick.
Jesus. So like if someone were to give you a barbecue chicken breast?
Breast, no.
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 That's the best
barbecue,
part of the chicken.
A drumette, something you could hold in your hands, finger food. I tend not to eat barbecue chicken at a cookout because... I find it to be really dried out on the grill most times, and most people don't know how to cook it by continually lathering on the barbecue sauce. But were I to eat a piece of chicken at a cookout, it would be a drumstick, and that is my number eight.
Okay, my number eight's beer. specifically not your dad's root beer. I'm a big fan of that beer. You ever have that?
No, I haven't.
The alcohol, it's root beer, but it tastes like root beer, but it's alcohol.
You know what I've been drinking?
It's fantastic.
I've been drinking the spiked seltzer. Have you had that yet?
No.
So it's a flavored seltzer, like orange, lime, cranberry, and grapefruit are the flavors. It's basically seltzer with vodka in it.
I was gonna say it's like a vodka tonic.
Yeah, and it's less filling than beer, so a lot of like pretty people are drinking it.
See, like the thing about the root beer is you can't put down like eight of them at a barbecue. You
no.
have to have like one or two. They're super sweet, but they're like a really nice start to the day. It's refreshing. It's
like
cold.
That.
It's flavorful. It's a good way to get your.
And it's like you're having a soda, but also having booze,
and also getting drunk outside.
Right, and it doesn't have the stigma of a Jack and Coke.
Yeah, you can't just like show up to a barbecue and everyone's having light beer, and you're like, "What's the hardest thing you got in the fridge?"
But you really cracked the code on this one. Like spiked seltzer is essentially vodka tonic.
Yeah.
A spiked root beer is essentially what you
would make in college when you had no alcohol mixers
right.
and you
yeah,
just need to put
right.
something together real quick.
Number seven on my list is potato salad. I am not a fan of coleslaw, except if it's like the dry kind that you get like on a Permane Brothers sandwich in Pittsburgh. I am not a fan of macaroni salad. I find that to be just a stupid food. It's always watery. But a good red skin potato salad with a good mayo to potato ratio with maybe some celery thrown in there really hits the spot for me at a cookout.
I'm a little too hungover to do this part of the show. If you're going to talk about mayo sitting out in the sun at a barbecue.
No, okay, granted. It doesn't really jibe very well with the beef. I'm assuming that there's some covering here that we're not having this cookout in the fucking plains of the East United States. Like, I'm assuming there's like a tenting or a roof over a porch where the potato salad isn't in constant contact with the sun.
Look at you and your regal cookouts with tents. Tents and specially barbecued seasoned legs. Like, I'm just like showing up with like a package of sausage and just like, cook this. I'm going to eat it.
All right. What's number six for you? Or seven for you, right?
Number seven is Sour Patch Kids. Sour Patch Kids.
What?
My barbecues are way better than yours, buddy. Sour Patch Kids are a fantastic little treat to sort of like build you up. It's like an appetizer. You don't just show up at the barbecue and be like, give me a hot dog. You kind of want to have like a little snacks, like, you know, your chips or your dip or whatever.
Yeah.
Sour Patch Kids should be at every single outdoor function, whether it's a birthday party, whether it's a barbecue. Delicious.
Yeah, I can only assume that we've had root beer and Sour Patch Kids, that number six on your list will be a bouncy castle.
Like, hey, don't you judge my lifestyle, okay?
Number six on my list is a hot dog sandwich. If I had to specify a hot dog for the sandwich, I guess I'd probably... My favorite to cook, because I think they're easy to cook, is a ballpark frank, like a bun-length ballpark frank. I like Nathan's, but I sometimes find them to be a little bit garlicky for my taste.
Not a fan of Nathan's fries. I could eat pounds
right,
and pounds
but the hot dogs are a little too garlicky, right?
They're also just like, I don't like how they're prepared. I don't like how they come off on a grill. Like like a hot dog off a grill has to be cooked in a certain way where it's not like crunchy. You know what I mean? Like that, you take that first bite and it's just like...
And all it, like when my dad cooks them and you actually have this like sheath of burnt... that the dog is sitting in, and you have to crack it open. It's kind of. It always reminded me of the in Ghostbusters when the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper are they turn into like the ashen statues of the gargoyles that they are, and they kind of bust out of it. That's how my dad cooks a hot dog. Like inside the burnt sheath is Dana, apparently.
And now in the new Ghostbusters, that's going to be ruined for you because they probably won't do that.
Well, it'll be a guy named Don. Played by Dennis Weaver.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right, here's my next one.
Yes.
The vegetable platter with blue cheese dip.
That's a solid choice. Fuck, I did not have a vegetable platter on here, and that's a great choice.
Trying to eat healthy at the barbecue, right? Yeah, like you want to like kid yourself into saying, like, oh, man, I've had like two burgers and like a bunch of chicken. And well, you know what? If I dip this celery in blue cheese and then just pour it down my face, like that's healthy. Like
it really
a little
is.
Celery, a little broccoli, some carrots.
Now, do you see celery and or wings occasionally as a delivery system for blue cheese? Because that's kind of how I treat them sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Well, see, I don't. I'm more of a dry wing guy.
Okay.
I see it as a delivery system for vegetables. Depending on the piece of pizza, if you're getting a little exotic, a little blue cheese, a buffalo pizza.
I was in the Finger Lakes this weekend for July 4th, and thanks to everybody for. We had some really fun times up there with some people that we met at various places. I had the worst pizza I've ever had, but it was only redeemed by having a blue cheese dip for the crust.
For the
I want to say it's called Mike's Pizza.
For the crust? Right. Was it like a coating on it? Or like you can't make a crust?
No. You actually dip it in.
Crust.
I think it's called like Mike's Pizza. I want to say it was like Mike's or Michael's Pizza, whatever it was like fucking ketchup, and then like the mere suggestion of cheese, and it was like the Yelp reviews were all like, well, it's great food at like 1 a.m. I'm like, no, you know what? Maybe it's the New York City bias in me.
Hey, forget about it.
But I've had good pizza at 3 a.m. and this ain't it.
You're like Vincent Antonelli in My Blue Heaven, where you're like having the Italian.
Yeah,
and it's like, what is this ketchup?
What is this? Right?
That's not a line from the movie, but there's a scene that's sort of like that.
Along those lines.
Yeah.
Number five for me is my first beer choice of two on the list, and it is a beer that much like Punking from Southern Tier, I'm a little saddened by it being available year round. But as far as summer brews go, Bell's Oberon, top of the pops for me, or at least number two on my list as far as beers, and number five on my list overall. Bell's Oberon is one of my favorite beers.
I don't know anything about that.
All right, well then just move on to number five.
Just move on.
Yeah.
Miller Lite rules. Where are we? 8765. I mean, it's not at every cookout that you're able to get this, but when it's there, it's kind of great. Marijuana. Like, you have to have the one buddy who's constantly into it and just says, you want to take a thing on this. And you're just like, well, I haven't eaten yet, and I really want to get my appetite going.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you just put your lips on the pipe there and you just
a little
inhale. Yeah. Maybe it's a joint, but, you know, you're outdoors. You know, you're in the backyard.
I don't know if I've ever experienced that at a cookout, but I have been to cookouts where a lot of the adults will be over in a corner of the yard, and we're not allowed to go talk to them for a little bit.
That's us.
Oh, I see.
Because like you're at the barbecue and you're just like, man, when are they going to put the meat on the grill already? And it's like, well, I know a way for us to get ourselves prepared for that.
And you're like, snoochie boochies.
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm like Bill Maher on Real Time and I'm like making all kinds of marijuana jokes. And I'm just like, I love this as much as I love Hillary and marijuana. And there's like a laugh track. And then like, that's a rarity. It doesn't really happen all that much. I would rather have that. As opposed to vegetables, so
yeah,
I'm just saying,
I can see that.
If you come to one of my cookouts, you're probably not going to get it. You got to bring your own, and then we'll see.
Yeah, it's all crops in the end.
Yeah.
Number four for me, brats. Bratwurst on the grill. Grill up
that
fatty old brat.
Oh shit!
Throw some spicy mustard on top of it. Throw it in a bun. A bratwurst sandwich. is one of my favorite things in life, and I would put that. And you know, grilled onions and peppers if you like, and if not, it's okay too. But yeah, preferably like a spicier brat if you can get it. That's a damn good thing to have at number four.
All right, wait, maybe I'll put that in. Maybe I'll get rid of vegetables. Yeah, let's get rid of vegetables on mine and put bratwurst there.
Literally editing your list on the fly now.
I mean,
are you kicking vegetables out of the top eight, or did they move down to like number
they're
eight
gone.
Instead of the? Or wherever the fuck Swedish fish was, do you put
Sour Patch
there?
Kids, the okay. SPK. Don't you dare associate SPK with Swedish fish. Jesus Christ. That's inflammatory and libelous.
Of course it is.
So yeah, vegetables. I was insane to have vegetables on there to begin with.
Right, you are.
So like my number four, as we move now to the foods, wings.
Like buffalo?
Boneless
or?
Buffalo wings.
Boneless buffalo. Boneless?
Oh, no. Boneless is what I would prefer.
Okay.
But at a barbecue, you're not
I hate
get
boneless
that.
Wings. I like the Neanderthalic feeling of chewing through flesh to then reach bone.
It's just too much work. You know, I'm at a barbecue. Like, I don't want to have to break the wing and then get inside there and suck the.
When I have a buffalo wing on with the bone in, it's like winter. I'm like, God, it's so much toil here.
I feel exhausted.
Like I'm in a Dostoevsky novel.
But like, why? I don't understand that. What's the logic behind if you love the taste of buffalo flavored chicken? Why would you not want that? In a way where you don't have to have a bone in the way. Why not just get the boneless buffalo?
Don't you? Because you don't, the seeing the pile of bones afterwards is an indication that you've conquered the food. Like, I love looking at that pile of bones. I'm like, look at all those bones. And then at the end, you're like, you know what? There's still some blue cheese left. I'm going to use this bone with like a fucking inch of meat on it to deliver the rest of the blue cheese to my mouth.
Okay, so listeners, if you could superimpose or Photoshop Greg Wyszynski onto the movie poster for the movie The Bone Collector with Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie, that'd be great.
Or if you want, Photoshop me onto Bonesaw McGraw from Spider-Man, the Macho Man Randy Savage, where Bruce Campbell goes, "Is everybody ready?" And Randy Savage's lone line in the movie is, "Bonesaw is ready."
He likes looking at the pile of wings, folks, the pile of bones.
Number three on my list is of a specific thing. Guacamole, which is by far one of the greatest side dishes you can have. And you might not like this. A lot of people don't. But the lime-flavored Tostitos from our friends at Tostitos.
I'm on board there.
Yeah, I dig that combination a lot. Obviously, a little squirt of lime on guacamole makes it come alive, and you have lime in the chips. So that's my number three, is chips and guac with lime chips from our friends at Tostitos.
All right, my mind is just processing that you just said squirt and cum in the same like sentence just a second ago, and I can't really think straight now. This podcast is so gross. My number three is just a hot dog and mustard.
Yeah.
No ketchup.
No, but on a bun though, hot dog sandwich.
On a bun. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's redundant, right. But sure, it's a hot dog sandwich. No, okay. No onions, no, you know, sauerkraut, just a dog.
You're not a fan of the
bun.
Chicago style dog with a pickle and
pickle.
Hot peppers and,
No, sausage is different. Hot dog, just give me the meat, give me the bun, give me the ketchup. Don't toast the bun. People like to do that. Give me the soft bun, the hot dog, and the sweet, spicy mustard.
I feel we only have two choices left, and it's getting exciting. And I think we might be both heading to the same number one, but I'm not going to say what it is. Don't say anything either.
No,
number two on my list. Number two on my list is the number one beer on my list. Number two on my list, number one beer overall, and number three in my heart.
Coors Light.
Scheinerbach. Scheinerbach is a beer that if you've been to Austin, you probably consume many of them. I find it to be one of the best summer drinking beers, a Scheinerbach. Give me it in a big old brown bottle with a yellow label on it, and I'll kick back and pretend that I'm smelling barbecue through my nose and all that jive.
It's a dark beer, right?
Sure.
It's a little too dark. Dark beers on hot days are tough.
Mm.
But it's your list. You've at a barbecue, you've picked alcohol to be your second favorite thing there. Which I think is a window into your addiction.
Just because you forgot alcohol should be that high on the list because you've got all of Grandpa's magic eye medicine at number five.
That's actually what Harold Potter calls it when he's trying to raise his granddaughter alone. Number two, cheeseburger. America. Bun, right. Burger, one slice of cheese. And you don't put the cheese. Listen, everyone's got their own thing. Take the burger off the grill. Put it on the bun, then you put the cheese on. Don't melt my cheese on the burger. I like the semi-cold, not entirely
right.
melted burger.
No, that's a good point.
Your cheese on the burger. Don't.
My dad
the
puts
bun.
The cheese on the burger on the grill, and inevitably you have the mere suggestion of cheese because it's already like melted off.
Right. And like, yeah. It's a weird consistency. Just, I'm not a fan of that. So like, if I'm at your barbecue and you treat me right, burger, cheese off the grill.
Well, number one on my list was number two on your list. Oh. The cheeseburger. That's where I thought we were both going. Oh. Cheeseburger. Give me a potato bun. Give me lettuce. Give me mayo. Give me ketchup. You can throw some onion on there if you want. No tomato. Tomato ruins the sandwich. But a grilled cheeseburger, preferably rare, but you never get that at a cookout. They're always going to be well done. Mm. That's why you need the condiment. So that'd be number one for me is a cheeseburger.
And my number one, which I thought was going to be obvious, I thought we both had the same one, strippers. No, that's not really not my thing. But I was just, you know, I was, if you're going to have a good time at a bar, male and female, like, just get crazy. Have just, you know, for everybody. But no. Number one, sausage and peppers.
Nice.
I am whenever I go to a tailgate, whenever I want to eat outside, I need sausage. Doesn't have to be peppers. Doesn't have to be onions. Could be anything. But if you have a sausage and peppers while you're standing in a backyard, dad's root beer in one hand, it's a good day.
It's a great day. And all I can think of now is how awful you must feel with your alternative number one, thinking about those poor strippers dying in the burning sun of my cookout. Tenting, no porches, roofs, no nothing. Like ants under a magnifying glass, yeah. Just boiling potato salad and frying strippers.
Well, no, at my barbecue, we have like the little kiddie pool that they dance in and they just like, you know, throw the water up on themselves. Come on, you got to think
right,
this
and
stuff.
That's where the jello wrestling happens later with Blue. Oh,
so
boy.
You've been. You know what goes on there. Yeah. So there you go.
All right. Well, this is the time of the show in which we'd like to answer your listener mail. You guys are the best. By the way, a big thanks to everybody who's left reviews on iTunes. We got our stars back, buddy. We're full 5 stars across the board or whatever it is.
Oh, what, we like lost that
we,
sort of
we,
thing?
There was a couple of the reviews that weren't as glowing, and we were down to like 4.5. But now we're 5 across the board. So thanks, everybody, for going to iTunes and doing that for us.
What the fuck, you bastards?
Doomocrat. Wants to know, is Jim Nill on crack thinking Yzerman's going to take back a goalie, and what would it take to kill this conversation? I mean,
I don't think he's going to trade Bishop anymore.
I don't think there's any reason to trade Bishop.
Yeah.
Right?
They're kind of all in for 16-17 at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I think you're right, and I think that as far as them taking a goalie back, I mean, that's just it. Like, if there was going to be any deal with the Dallas Stars that involved them taking, like, Niemi back or whatever, like, yeah. The Stars are going to have to load up with a pick or something to make that happen.
Right.
On top of what they have to give up for Bishop, which is probably going to be Nikushkin to start.
If Niemi had, like, 1 year left, yeah, but he's got 2. So you're going to have to go into next year with Niemi. It's just that he messed up. He should not have signed Niemi.
Well, yeah, and again now and making goaltending his hill to die on is kind of crazy too, in the sense that like he's defended it, and at some point you're just like, all right, man. I mean, I get it. You had great regular season success and followed by a complete flame out. They're the Lindros Flyers. Like they're going to be amazing up front.
Yep.
In perpetuity, and then it's always going to be like, well, I mean, you know, Sagan and Ben would probably have his ring by now. We're not for the fact that there's just a pile of wet garbage between the pipes behind him.
And the defense isn't really getting any better, too. Yeah. Sorry,
I
Dallas.
Do like that Ham Hughes pickup, by the way. I think him and Klingberg will be pretty good together.
That is an amazing pickup at last year's trade deadline, but they didn't do it. So
Trev R. writes in, hey, Wyshynski, can you explain to Dave Lozo why being a 15-time WWE champion is legit despite the fact that it's a work? Were you throwing shade at a 15-time WWE champion?
Oh, yeah, because John Cena's...
John Cena?
Wait, hold on. Let me call up his Twitter right now. John Cena. Because, like, you know, like in your profile, it's like Greg Wyshynski works for Yahoo.
Oh, you hate the fact that he puts that in his profile.
His says... John Cena, the champ is here on Twitter, ! Leader of WWE's C Nation. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. And 15-time world champion. You didn't win anything. you're acting. It's a role you play. You didn't win anything.
We've talked about this on the podcast before, and I will say again, remember how we praised Artemi Panarin for being a rookie who played well enough to stay on the top line. Mm-hmm. If you're a 15-time world champion, that means that you performed well enough to be given that role 15 times. So it is an honor to wear the belt 15 times.
Let me just look up George Clooney's profile and see how many times he's mentioned stealing stuff in Las Vegas.
Knocked over the Mirage, the Bellagio, and the MGM Grand in one night.
And also Willie Banks' place and like any other sort of crimes he took place in Europe when he was there. Yeah,
outwitted the gray fox or whatever he was in the second movie.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
15-time world champion. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on your world championship.
We've gotten a couple of these, so I might as well read one. Justin R.O. writes in, interviews are good, but missing a Blade Runner reference can probably get you kicked off of Nerdist. Now,
the reference
last week was to a calfskin wallet.
Oh, right.
That apparently was a Blade Runner reference on the Keith Olbermann episode. And listen, I as you know, I'm a bit of a cinephile. I fancy myself a lover of good film. I was a film minor at the University of Maryland, that prestigious school that has turned out so many great filmmakers.
Oh, please tell me there's like video of you acting somewhere on the internet.
It was more of a film criticism.
Doing Shakespeare.
But I say this with no sense amount of irony or trying to ruffle any feathers, but fuck Blade Runner.
Whoa.
Blade Runner is
it's a good movie.
As pretentious as people say that 2001 is. It is a movie remembered for art direction and production design more than anything else. It is a movie with one great speech from Roy Batty. It is a movie that launched 1,000 Daryl Hannah cosplays. Mm. And it's a movie that's remembered for a terrible version that was slightly better via the director's cut that eliminated the voiceover from Harrison Ford. And mostly it's remembered as like a cool Harrison Ford movie. But it's not a good movie, and I would go as far to say that if given the Blade Runner Blu-ray and the Prometheus Blu-ray in front of me, I am probably watching Prometheus before I watch Blade Runner again. Blade Runner is infinitely overrated, and I never had any love for it in my heart.
I have no real feelings at all about that movie.
Right, you shouldn't, because it... are you a replicant, Dave? Oh my God, replicants don't have feelings.
Yeah. It was probably one of those movies that was great at the time, because it was like kind of like groundbreaking.
It looks great. Yeah. Like, it looks amazing, and the special effects are crazy good.
Yeah, whatever.
But I don't have any love for it. Yeah. None at all. Joe Pack, our good friend, wants to know an F. Mary Kill. We don't do many of these on the show.
Okay.
Soupy Edition. Brian Campbell, Colin Campbell, and Gregory Campbell.
Kill Colin Campbell, fuck Gregory Campbell, marry Brian Campbell.
I would... No, I think I agree with you. Because Brian Campbell's Brian Campbell had that contract, right? So he's set for life.
He's
like, I don't even know what Gregory Campbell's overall worth is. Right. We'll and be, I'm thinking to myself, I need to be taken care of.
We'll be trophy husbands for sure.
Right. And Gregory Campbell, the great thing about him is that he could probably go all night because we've already seen him kill a penalty with a broken leg.
And you constantly mention that the whole time you're married. Like you're in the garbage, Greg? I can't. My arm hurts. Oh, yeah, your arm hurts, huh? Guess what I did when my leg was broken?
Right. But in a one-nighter, like he might cramp up, but it doesn't matter. Like he's just going to keep going.
He'll finish for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Have him sign that picture of him cramping up because he won't do it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't sign pictures of the broken leg penalty kill. Masha, our good friend on Twitter, says the whole father-son in the same FMK thing isn't going to make for an uncomfortable discussion at all. Well, that's a good point.
I didn't even think of that.
Kenny Reichman wants to know, what's worse, watching Independence Day with Jeff Goldblum or watching people build big walls with Donald Trump? What?
Yeah, we got to start screening these a little better before we start reading them.
Let me go to another Independence Day one. Mr. Jones 1 wants to know, with ID2 in mind, what other craptastic sequel does the world need? So it's got to be a big blockbuster movie that never had a sequel. I mean, they're making Avatar sequels, so that takes that out of the equation.
Bad movie needs a sequel.
Oh, I got it.
What do you got?
Armageddon 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Right.
I would watch that.
Right. And so Armageddon 2, Affleck is married to Liv Tyler.
Sure.
There is some other... The moon starts falling.
Bruce Willis is still alive.
The moon comes out of orbit and then starts falling on us, which I think was the plot of another movie we invented on the show at one point. The moon falls out of orbit, begins falling towards the Earth in Moon Crash, and it's up to Ben Affleck and whoever survived the first movie, and also Bruce Willis's brother, who's Liv Tyler's uncle, who is played by
Bruce Willis.
Oh, yes!
Michael Chiklis.
No, you got it
right.
Bruce, a balder, older Bruce Willis as his character's twin brother.
I'm in.
Oh God, I'm in.
Let's write it right
tomorrow.
All right, I gotta go pee again.
All right,
I had a lot of coffee on the way here, so I think I'm gonna have to take a break.
No, it's fine. We're gonna end the show anyway. Sure. Listen, you guys are the best. You can keep up with us throughout the summer to the next episode, which is gonna happen in August, and it's gonna happen with me in Rio for the Olympics as I go cover the Olympics for Yahoo. And Dave here. It'll be a long distance dedication episode. But Puck Soup Podcast is the Twitter feed. Go to iTunes. Give all the good reviews to this show that you possibly can. And we appreciate you downloading all of the episodes in our first season.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess it's the first season, whatever. The great news is there will be another season of it because we have a sponsor, which is super
fun. We're all set.
Courtesy of our friends at SeatGeek. You can follow me on Twitter at Wyszynski. You can read me at Puck Daddy. I'm trying to make this brief so my boy's bladder don't burst. Take Your Eye Off the Puck is the book. You can get it on Amazon.com. Currently number 2 on the Amazon rankings behind
the Bible. No? Why off?
I mean, as far as hockey books go. The Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup quickie from the Tribune Review. And just thanks. Thanks for everybody for playing along and having fun with this stupid podcast. Dave, anything you want to say before you go?
I'm going to go take a pee, and I'm going to say, as always, folks, be lit, stay loyal.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.